I told you last week that I would deal with the atmosphere of intercession today in consultation with the Lord. I can't go there. I felt we had this illustration for a reason. Our car, 2019. I'm not going to ask people to sit in the chairs, just so you know. We have relationship, we have worship. Worship flows out of relationship. We have administration, we have programs. Programs flow out of administration. This vehicle that's called the vision is going somewhere. Ultimately, that vision is so that we can be more like Christ, that we are filled with the fullness of God. That's where it's ultimately going. In the process, we are making disciples so that they can as well come to Christ and follow Christ until Christ be formed in them. Understand the end result of the vision. It takes people working together. Okay, we've gone through this scenario a number of times. I haven't yet told you, and this is what the Lord brought to my attention, I haven't yet told you about the fuel of that vehicle. What's interesting, you know you have to put fuel in your car. It isn't just fuel that you need, whether it's gasoline or diesel, depending on what you have, but you also have to have oil. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. I can't talk about the oil today, but I can talk about Jesus. You see, in the beginning, the earth was without form and it was void. And darkness was upon and it covered the deep waters. And the Bible says, and the Spirit of the Lord was hovering over the surface of the waters. What happened? God said, let there be light. And you know what? There was. Thank you, Jesus. God spoke. John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through Him. And nothing was created except through Him. The Word gave life to everything that was created. And His life was the light of men. Unfortunately, the light shone in darkness, and the darkness didn't know what to do with it. That's one of the reasons why when we played that song in the prison, those people were in prison. And yet, when they encountered the presence of Almighty God, they could do nothing else but cry. If God created the heaven and the earth, and He did, then why not can we fully trust His Word in our daily life? You cannot talk about the Word without talking about Jesus, because that is actually who the Word is talking about when it said in the beginning was the Word. Jesus was present. He was there to create. There is power in the name of Jesus. And I want to bring it out and say it like this. We can have a car, but if we don't have the fuel, this automobile not going anywhere. You have to have the fuel. You know, Genesis chapter 15, sometime later, the Lord spoke to Abraham in a vision and said to him, "Don't be afraid. I will protect you, and your reward will be great." Do you know how big that was to Abraham? Abraham left his own people to travel to another country. You're waiting for another time. You're waiting for things to grow. But do you understand how great the power of God is for you? Do you understand the love of God for you, where you are at right now? The very presence and the very power of God to protect you. Psalm 119, 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light to my pathway." What was it that was said about Jesus? In him was light. In him was life. And that light was the life of men. Glory to God. His life was light. His life was light. That's one of the reasons why it was so hard for those that were in darkness to comprehend it. They could not see. There was a point in time when the Bible says that God blinded their eyes so that they could not see. See, the cross had to happen. And if Satan had known what he was doing when he was crucifying Christ, he would have never done it. He didn't see the end result. He didn't see the end plan. But God did. Praise the Lord. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords now. He is. Unfortunately, we've got people that are blinded. They cannot see it. Do you know that hurt people hurt people? John the Baptist knew that he was the forerunner of Christ. His ministry was so different from Jesus. It was. His ministry was so different from Jesus. John the Baptist did not come eating and drinking like Jesus did. John the Baptist was a voice crying in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight." And at least three times, John looks at Jesus, especially when Jesus was being water baptized and the whole thing. He looks at Jesus and says, "Oh, fellas, look. Look over there. Behold the Lamb of God." And he says, "Which takes away the sin of the world." John saw the Lamb of God. Sometime later, John was in prison. And John being in prison, something happened with John. And he has to go and send disciples to ask Jesus, "Are you the one?" How does that happen? He sees the Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world. He sees him. He proclaims him. He tells the people about him. And yet in prison he has to send his disciples, "Are you the one?" And Jesus said to the disciples that came, from John that came to him, "You go and tell John that the blind see, the lame walk, and blessed is he that is not offended because of me." In other words, John the Baptist was offended because his ministry was different from Jesus. Jesus' ministry was different from his. They came for a different purpose, for a common vision, by the way. Okay, but John did not see it. John got offended because Jesus' ministry was different. He thought that Jesus, this is what I read in the scripture that John thought that Jesus shouldn't come eating and drinking either. But see, Jesus did not come to be served. He came to serve. See his attitude? He came to serve. He gave up the stuff of heaven to come to earth for you and I. Glory to God. So, go and tell John. Lame walk, the blind see, but blessed is he that is not offended because of me. John got to a place that in his bitterness because of difference, it blinded him from seeing the truth any longer. That bitterness, unforgiveness, resentment, whatever happens there, blinds you from seeing truth. Jesus came, okay, to destroy the very works of darkness. That's the purpose of Jesus. That's why he came. He came to destroy. He did not come to be served. He came to serve. He came to seek and to save. That's what he came for. John's was preparing the way. See, if you start comparing your ministry with somebody else, and the way that you carry on from somebody else, when you start the comparison road, you're going down a wrong pathway. Okay. You can't compare yourself. Israel did that. They compared themselves with other nations. Okay. So, you know, your lamp is to guide my feet and a light to my pathway. I have to receive the light of life for myself. And I believe that it's receiving the direction of God can happen in everyday life. I was driving some vehicles from Halifax to, I was driving a vehicle. But it wasn't in multi-vehicles, I was in one vehicle. I was asked to, and being paid to drive a vehicle from the car auction in Enfield to back to Miramichi. And while we were going over the car, we always do, I do a walk around, I make notes of the car, and whether it's got scratches or whatever, there's lights on in the car. And I said to our boss, because there's probably four or five of us that were there, but our boss, he took us to this, where we were picking up these cars. And I said to him, I think there's something wrong with that tire. There was a light on at the dash, but I was walking around. Because of the gravel and things, it was really hard to tell that it was down very much. I said to him, I think there's a problem with that tire. Ah, oh, Ron, the sensor is on. That often happens. We get a lot of those vehicles with sensors on. And I said, okay. Now, some of them were not going back to the Miramichi right away because they had other stops to make. So at this point, when I was driving, I was on my own. And while I'm filling up with gasoline, I did another walk around, and because we were on cement, I thought, that tire needs air. I got to put some air in that tire. And I did. I found a pump, had to pay a few dollars for air. Why would you pay for air? Anyway, I paid for air. And I put the air in the tire. And I don't think I got down the road 10 minutes. Bang! I pulled over. That tire was flat. That tire was a problem. How did I know that there was a problem there? So I called up my boss. He was heading into town, a different direction from where we were going. And I said, I got myself a flat. Well, no problem. Put the spare on. So I went in the trunk and I took out the spare tire. It was well worn. It had obviously been used before. This particular car that I was driving, that whole fender was smashed in a little bit. Okay. And it obviously had an accident. So, anyway, I took out this tire. It wasn't very good for a spare. And I'm supposed to get back to Miramichi on this tire. Oh, no, that's not good. And it just happened to have a jack. So I jack up the car. And before I jacked up the car, I loosened up the nuts, because I think that's what you're supposed to do. You leave the car on the ground, you loosen the nuts, and then jack it up. So that's what I did. I jacked it up. And the thought came to me, don't take the tire off. Well, I was just instructed by my boss, get ready for the fella that's coming in behind you. He's probably about a half hour. Get ready for him, have the tire off, and ready to put the other one on. I said, oh, another one? Yes, he said, I'm sending a spare tire with him. I took the spare that was in his car out, and he said, that should be good. I said, okay, good. But when he, don't take the tire off. Okay. Now, I'm down there kneeling and working and pumping and doing what I'm supposed to do, and I just stand up. The car is off the ground. The tire is still on. I just stand up, and a truck went by. Down come that car. Now the jack is all crooked. I can't get it out. I am so thankful I left the tire on. How did I know? I believe God cares for those little things. And I'm beginning to recognize, more so than any time in my life, I'm beginning to recognize the voice of the Lord a lot quicker. Praise the Lord. It's a journey. He is a light to our pathway. Why is that? Because he wants to instruct us. He wants to instruct us by his word. We think we're looking for a thus saith the Lord. Okay. But it happens in those little moments in our lives. They're actually big moments when God speaks to us. But we learn his voice. The more that it happens, we learn his voice. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1 to 5, God says, be careful to obey all the commands I'm giving you today. He was giving Israel some commands. Then you will live and multiply, and you will enter and occupy the land that the Lord swore to give to your ancestors. Remember, verse 2, remember how the Lord your God led you through the wilderness for these 40 years, humbling you and testing you, to prove your character and to find out whether or not you would obey his commands. That's the reason why they were going through the process. And you want to speed up the process of God? Yes, he humbled you by letting you go hungry and then feeding you with manna, a food previously unknown to your ancestors. He did it to teach you that people do not live by bread alone. Rather, we live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. For all these 40 years, your clothes didn't wear out and your feet didn't blister and swell. Think about it. Just as a parent disciplines a child, the Lord your God disciplines you for your own good. Deuteronomy 9, verse 4. After the Lord your God has done this for you, don't say in your hearts, the Lord has given us this land because we are such good people. No, it's because of the wickedness of other nations. Because the wickedness of other nations that he is pushing them out of your way. It is not because you are so good and have such integrity that you are about to occupy the land. The Lord your God will drive these nations out ahead of you only because of their wickedness. And to fulfill an oath, he swore to your ancestors Abraham and Isaac. You think this is only about your church. Because you're looking at your church, looking at your situation. But I want to tell you something. It really is about your community. got a boat. We'd like to get going. I get it. This is a bigger. It's bigger. It's bigger. Deuteronomy 12. Be careful to obey all my commands so that all will go well with you and all your children after you, because you will be doing what is good and pleasing to the Lord your God. Now you see, it's not just about your church. It's about the area. It's not just about you, but it's about the generations after you. In Psalm 119, verse 89, your eternal word, O Lord, stands firm in heaven. Your faithfulness extends to every generation, as enduring as the earth you created. The King James says it like this, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is to all generations. If his word is settled, and if you receive his word, it'll become settled in you. Now, if I'm settled, I don't want to sit on the stable. But if I had a chair and I'd sat down, I could say, boy, I'm settled, I'm off my feet now. I'm resting. You are at a place of rest. God loves you so much that he wants you to be at rest. Huh. His word is true from the beginning. And Psalm 19, verse 160, thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of your judgments last forever. Now listen to this. John 17, verse 17, make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. Just as you have sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world. I give myself as a holy sacrifice for them, so they can be made holy by your truth. I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. That includes you and me. Praise the Lord. But also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. I pray, he goes on to pray, that they will be one, just as you and I are one, as you are in me, Father, and I in you. And may they be one so that the world will believe in me. I have given them the glory you gave me so that they can be one as we are one. King James uses the word sanctify them. Set them apart. Set them apart through thy truth, thy word of truth. Psalm 138, verse 1 and 2. I will praise you with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. And then it goes on. This is King James says, thou hast magnified thy word above thy name. If that is true, then the fuel for this thing is the truth of God's word. This thing will not flow if you are out of truth, if you are not receiving truth. You will get off track if you don't have truth. In fact, the Bible says the truth will make you free. You want freedom? I think I heard in one of the prayers about freedom. You want freedom? You need truth. Glory to God. You see. The NLT says it like this. I bow before your holy temple as I worship. I tell you, you worship out of humility. You don't worship out of pride. You worship out of humility. We come and bow. I praise your name for your unfailing love and your faithfulness. For your promises are backed by all the honor of your name. And all the honor of his name. We've been given a name higher than any name, higher than any God. At the name of Jesus, every knee one day will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. I'm hoping that we can see and share this next video with you. It's also a Hillsong song. If we're able to see it, you will see a young lady that she's not dressed in her regular street clothes that she normally wears, but she wears a business suit on this day.
I wore a suit because I came here to do business with Jesus tonight.
You may have to have those lights off.
And I think you did too. So let's do it.
Now reveal.
Why don't we stand together? Father in heaven, I come to you in and through the mighty name of Jesus, that name that is above every name. Break every chain. In Jesus' name. Break every chain. Break every chain. I ask, Father, that you would settle your word in our hearts. In fact, David said it like this, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I wouldn't sin against you. I ask, Father, that you would implant your word into our hearts and into our minds, into our very soul, that we'll reach out to you, not by our own might or ingenuity, but by your power, in the name of Jesus. I ask that you would restore, you would mend, you would heal, in the name of Jesus. And I thank you for that. I thank you, Lord, for these people. As they go out from this house, I ask that you would bless them in the works of their hands as they work for you, realizing that as they leave this place, they enter the mission field. We enter the harvest. And your harvest is great, ready for harvesting. I ask, Lord, that you would bless them in their going out, their coming in, their rising up, and their sitting down. In the name of Jesus, I ask that you would bless their households and the households that they represent. And so many that have family, whether they're small or whether they're adults, we ask, Lord, that you would help them to speak forth your word of truth, that they will become guided by your word of truth. They will have nothing to do with that that is false, but Lord, they will take on your word of truth in Jesus' name. And already, Lord, we pray, Lord, for the meeting that is upcoming in September. We ask, O God, that you would speak by your Holy Spirit and that you would direct by your Holy Spirit. In fact, your word declares that to them that are being led by the Spirit, they are your sons and daughters. Thank you for this time together. In Jesus' name, would you say with me, amen. The Lord bless you. Thank you, Jesus.